The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial the paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website app owners and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel, while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co. What is up, App Nation? It is Steve P. Young, founder of AppMasters.com, the place you go when you want action-packed content related to helping you grow your app downloads and, more importantly, those revenues. And today we're going to talk a little bit about revenues, and we've got a great app called Notability. We got the marketing lead here to kind of talk about influencer marketing, how they're using social media to grow ambassador program. And lastly, because the app is more geared towards students, how do you actually get students to pay? So without further ado, let's bring in Cleary.
Hello, Steve. Wow, that was quite the intro. I wasn't expecting such an incredible animation.
We've got more stuff. You mean you want some more music? We got that going right here, too. So I've got stuff for you right here.
All right. Okay. I love it. We're starting our Friday morning off on a good foot.
This is what we do. Norex is here already. We've got Kevin. Good to see you, Kevin. We got Miguel. We got Laxmi here. And then we got Louise. How's it going? Laxmi said, I've worked in companies like Tiki, a lot of experience in influencer marketing, bring a lot of influencers still working on social media. Good to see you, Laxmi, too, on there as well. Well, Cleary, Laxmi started off with us for us, but influencer marketing, I think, you know, because I've done influencer marketing too, it's such a tricky and it's like hard to really gauge ROI. So when did you guys start thinking about influencer marketing? Was it at a certain, I guess the question is like, should you be at a certain phase in a company to really start thinking about influencer marketing? Or do you think it should be like from day one type of thing?
Good point. I definitely think it should be at a slightly later phase of the company because, as you mentioned, ROI is incredibly hard to peg down with influencer marketing. There's just not super clear attribution. You can use, you know, various custom URLs and tracking links and whatnot, but the reality is each platform has different ways of clicking on things and people end up searching on different devices. And so it's just not as seamless to track. So I think you have to be at a phase of the company where you're willing to take a little bit of a leap of faith and trust the process that, you know, you're investing in these stories and these use cases and these brand champions that will really spark word of mouth. And you'll see that down the road. In the same way that, you know, you might want to invest in SEO or kind of other organic strategies to drive growth, but you won't see the results right away. So, you know, if you're at an earlier phase of kind of developing your brand identity, then that should be the priority because, you know, there, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. So you might need to see other metrics, but I will say though, if you commit to it, you will see the results. It just takes some time.
Yeah, I like it. The one of my past guests and a client of our Sanctuary Astrology, they've got a great social media following with 1 million+. And Ross was talking about, like, it's another channel for you to own, right? Like having that social media, you have email, you have social media, you have the app store. And so it just becomes another channel for you to interact with your audience.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, there are so many ways that you can kind of like work with influencers and, you know, leverage them to kind of tell your brand story. But yeah, you should be thinking about it as like another channel. I mean, you should be thinking about influencers as like people that can really show your brand in the best light and like help kind of be an extension of your marketing team, if you will. At least that's how we think about them, you know, at Notability. And we really try to like take it the next step further and like treat them with the respect as if they were, you know, working with us every single day. So, and I think it pays off, you know, humans appreciate that. They appreciate like being talked to, you know, authentically, I think.
How do you guys go about first finding influencers who to work with?
Good question. So we have, oh my gosh, we have like so many different like things that we look for when we're actually like going through this right now because we're kind of in our next stage of recruiting our next cohort of influencers. But we sort of outline, you know, what are the kind of verticals that we're targeting and like what that demographic is. And then sort of use that as like guiding principles when we're looking for new influencers. Obviously, we have relationships with various like agencies that manage different influencers. So typically we'll reach out to those contacts to kind of get a head start or, you know, there's some software out there where you can kind of like search different metrics to find influencers. So there's a lot of like sourcing tools that you can use. But at the end of the day, we're like super holistic in how we choose people because we really care most about do they have an authentic platform where they will be a good fit to show off our brand? And if not, then, you know, it doesn't make sense. No metric's going to convince me otherwise. So at the end of the day, it's pretty holistic, but we have a few guiding principles just to make it easier to identify what we're looking for.
Is it just followers? Is it, you know, engagement? Are there numbers that you look at before deciding?
It's actually more like qualitative. So it's more like, are they students? Are they young professionals? Are they DIY bullet journalers? What kind of hobbies do they talk about? You know, so it's more behavioral. And then also I would, you know, like age is definitely a big one. Followers, yes. There's, again, we're very flexible, but there's kind of like I don't think there's like a hard cutoff. I don't want to say that we've ever like turned someone down like because they're, you know, 10K off of our right number we're shooting for. But we do look for a certain kind of like estimated size just to make, you know, part of the goal with working with influencers is you want to get to, you know, speak to the largest amount of people possible. So reach does matter. And, you know, sometimes we'll be strategically going after smaller influencers that might fit within our budget better at different times of the year, or, you know, when we have some extra budget to work with, then we'll want to go after bigger influencers for that reach. So it's, mm-hmm. It depends. We don't have like a specific number that stays consistent.
I like it. Okay. Talk to me about, and I'm going to come back in, how you've leveraged these influencers to 10X your organic growth. Because you guys can see right here, I'm pulling up the Notability Instagram page. It's got 76,000 followers, really great looking Instagram. How have you guys gone about, like, one, working with these influencers? What have you found, like, I guess maybe the type of content that works out in growing the organic social growth?
Oh, wow. There's so much I can dive into that one. But first I'll say, so how do we work with these influencers? So there's really two approaches that we take. One, we launched our first ever ambassador program earlier this year. And that's our way of really leaning into UGC-driven content that is hyper authentic. So we are very intentionally giving the creators the freedom to talk to their audience in their own language, you know, like no creative briefs, like no, like it's really just about building relationships with them and really hoping that they fall in love with the brand as much as we do, because, you know, at the end of the day, like it's the people behind the product that sell it. It's not the product. As much as I would love to like say that like people really care about all these tiny little specs, like, or, you know, obviously all the new features that come out, people are excited about, but, you know, you can't just sell the product on the next generation of notability. It has to be the storytelling and the people behind it. So, our ambassadors are our brand champions, and we, you know, we like very much handpick each one of them. We work with them on a longer term contract than our other partnerships. And because of that, we actually like know each one of them, and we like talk to them, and they give us feedback, and it's just a much more involved kind of engaged thing. So that's one way you can work with influencers. The second way that we work with influencers and leverage them to drive business growth is kind of through one-off, very curated partnerships. And those partnerships, as you're showing right here, is, you know, to kind of announce specific features that might be upcoming, or, you know, maybe it's a seasonal kind of partnership where we want to celebrate like Halloween, you know, like spooky. Right. Like if there's kind of a timely thing that we want to, or even if you just really want to get some great UGC and have that for an ad unit, like that's one way that we work with them, is to be able to have the rights to, you know, license and decide how we'll promote that on paid. Yep. We do not promote any of our ambassador, you know, content on paid. And the reason is kind of like tenfold, so I won't go into all of the reasons, but mostly, I mean, it's quite expensive when you start talking licensing rights. And most of the ambassadors we work with have millions of people that subscribe to them. So it would just be really expensive. And there's much cheaper ways to work with smaller creators to get UGC that you can then promote. And then it's a lot more efficient and much more strategic. So I think if I had to just simplify all of that long answer, it's that like you can work with people in a really organic way and really focus on the authenticity. And that word of mouth will spread, or you can work with smaller creators and kind of like one-off partnerships with the intent of boosting and promoting that content to get higher reach. Yeah. So I think you should be leveraging both. I think you should be going after the big creators to tell your story, but also the smaller creators to really create incredible content that you can then promote.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the smaller ones that are the most hungry. So they're going to be, you know, pushing forward and trying to promote the video because they're just getting going too.
Yeah. And if they love the brands, like we work with influencers who reach out to us, and even if they have a small audience, like we'll still partner with them because it's the people that are like actually our loyal users that we want to be creating content about us. So like that's what I'm saying, is there is not like a specific number that's like yes or no. Like you can leverage influencer partners in like so many ways. So
Clearly, what we found is a couple of things. So one influencer has created content for another client of ours, and it was just like, you know, the top three apps for students as an example for notability, right? And she had notability as an example as the first app. And it was just literally screenshots of the apps. And then that drove like 4,000 downloads organically. She had about 100,000 followers on TikTok. Wow. And it was just like, boom. And Now the key was it showed up as App Store search downloads because people were just searching for the brand within the App Store, not necessarily like, you know, clicking a link. And so it spiked our Apple search ads, our App Store search downloads, but it actually came from TikTok.
See, that's the power of like organic, like everything. Yeah. Like it's, you know, you can spend as much money you want promoting things. Like it's just at the end of the day, it has to resonate with people. And it has to, like, that's why I keep emphasizing the word authenticity, like, throughout. Yeah. Well, that's just like my guiding principle in life, really. But like in marketing, especially, if it's not authentic, it's just not, you know, consumer, people are smart. Like, they see through more than you would expect, you know? So, when they come across that content that really resonates with them and they search it, like, that just drives so much more. It also, I mean, it also kind of curates the algorithm to work in your favor. So that's why I'm like, if you get 100,000 organic views versus 100,000 on paid, I would say easily the 100,000 organic is worth five times the paid. Like, if not.
You get a point. We give out points here, Clary.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah, there it is. Here we go.
I love it. I got 2 points there then.
But I love that. And sometimes it's like the obvious thing. So we've even done one where, so that one took off organically, right? And we didn't even pay them, but we actually started doing more and more creative content around that. And then what worked as an ad, because we've worked with influencers and we'll run them as ads on TikTok as Spark ads. Right. And what we found is like top four reasons to download Notability. And that ad, while it doesn't work organically as well, it does really work well as an ad, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
I was going to pull this up. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. If you had anything to add on that.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think, and even like the subtle things, as you're saying, like, you can have a piece of content that performs really well organically, and then you try to create it as an ad, and it doesn't always work. I think, you know, people, the format of ads can be kind of a psychological barrier for some people. Like, it really is, like, when you see something from someone that you trust, like, trust being the key word, people are very, there's such a culture of distrust on social media in general, but you know, people immediately kind of have their guards up when they see that it's an ad from the brand. But if you are like promoting through an influencer, there's already kind of some of that built-in trust. And I think it just kind of skips a few of the steps where people are a little bit more open and warmed up to believing what you have to say.
Yeah. Have you guys found like what types of content work the best too? I'm pulling up this one. This has really high engagement, you know, close to 26,000 likes. It's super simple, by the way. Yeah. And it's just like studying with a good playlist, and you have Notability, and then you have Spotify on the left-hand side. Have you found what type of content really works well?
Yeah. I mean, so this might be hard to hear for us marketers out there, but it's the content that doesn't really like show your product as much. It's a little bit more organic. You know, it could be something that you see in your feed that a friend created. It doesn't necessarily have a lot of branding at the beginning of the video. In fact, I would really recommend, I know we've been ingrained as marketers to have your branding and logo at the beginning with your call to action so that people, you don't lose their attention span. But now I think it's the opposite. I think if anything, have your brand and logo at the end of the video, once you've already hooked them into believing that this is something that they'd be interested in, because, you know, it's seamless in their feed as they're scrolling.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I'm trying to find a few more that kind of highlight how to stay consistent with your content. And then you guys found out like carousels, like I've heard that carousels work really well too on Instagram.
Yeah, carousels do. I would say we're in the game of short form video. It's, you know, it's been that way for a bit now. You know, even with YouTube Shorts coming out this year, like it's short form video. It's just so much more engaging. But even in this carousel, there's some video like in
the carousel. I loved it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's still video.
I love it. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing now. It's like an image as the first thing you have to like swipe left to see the video. And I'm seeing that. Talk to me about this. I know the collaboration feature on Instagram works really well. And that's something that we've been really focused on with the other client in terms of collabs. Be like, if you create the video, add us as a collaborator.
Yes. Yes. So Instagram has been a platform that we've actually started refocusing on a lot more this year. really focused on growing our TikTok audience because we launched it this year from scratch. And we have grown quite a bit there. We're almost at 60K as well. So our audience size is similar, but I would say Instagram's a little bit more valuable. I'm sorry, don't come after me. But the reason being is there's just so many more abilities to tag creators and like share audiences. And there's a synergy there that you can't really tap into with TikTok, just because of limitations of literally reposting. So a good example of this is that with our ambassador program, where we're not promoting the content on paid, we'll tag them in any content that we share that includes them, or they tag us in their stories or their posts, and then we can reshare that. And so there's a lot of like, we're reaching two audiences, and our ambassador program alone has a total reach of 6.2 million across all of our ambassadors. So there is quite a great potential there. But like when you also combine that with we're able to leverage that to grow our own audience, it's kind of a double whammy. So when they post on TikTok, we can't do anything with that content. So it's not as valuable for us there. But yeah, I mean, I think the collaboration features are great. Obviously, you can use that to boost the content, and it comes from both the creator's profile and the brand's profile. So like I said, it's nice to have that content show on your feed because it's building your brand as well. Whereas TikTok, if you promote via Spark ads, it doesn't show up on your TikTok profile, and it's just harder to kind of like tell that story together. So I really, really like that about Instagram. And I think it's part of the reason we've seen a lot more growth there, especially in recent weeks as we've like leaned into that.
What I like about TikTok is that it gives the capability of going viral. And so it's like, if it hits, it's gone viral. We've worked with one client where they just focused on TikTok in the very beginning, and they would work with like these influencers that were just starting. And then if you find the right type of content and it doesn't have to be fancy, by the way, it helped them. It was the initial spark that they needed to drive thousands of downloads.
Yeah. In fact, I would recommend, honestly, if you are a younger brand, like start with TikTok before you start with Instagram for that reason. It's much easier to go viral on TikTok. I'm not an expert in how the algorithms are built, but from experience, I can tell you that we have had like many, many videos with more than a million views on TikTok, which is why we like skyrocketed in growth so quickly. But it's taken a lot longer to kind of get that reach on Instagram. And we still don't, you know, if a video, we'll post the same video on both TikTok and Instagram, and it may take off on TikTok. And if it does, it's like, we got 2 million views like in 2 days, and it's insane. Instagram, the equivalent might be like 250K views, you know, we've only had like two videos, I think, that have gone over 2 million on Instagram. But what I will say is that when it goes viral on Instagram, it goes viral for much longer. Like it will probably go, I think that video I'm thinking about in the back of my head had like 5 million views. And it's just like, so if you can tap into that on Instagram, you will see much longer sustained growth afterwards. So obviously it's a double-edged sword, because I don't want to advise people to say like go after viral videos, because you don't have a lot of control over it. It's not necessarily like a good strategy to try to create viral videos. It's the icing on the cake, really, in the marketing mix. But you know, if you kind of statistically try to leverage that capability on TikTok and like shoot your shot on TikTok and try to see that growth, then it will carry over to the other platforms, because you can start to like, you know, promote cross platform. So I do think it's good to start off with, but as a more like reliable growth strategy, I think Instagram, with all of its like tagging capabilities and ability to leverage partners, is just much more consistent growth.
That's interesting insight. I like that a lot. I want to say hi to a few people. Ravindu, PJ, how's it going? David Tommy is here as well. Adrian, how's it going? He's from Ireland. And then we got Cooking Jet. as well from the UK. I like how he spelled it that way.
I love it. We're so international here today.
Yes. I do love that. Hey, I want to talk about, move on to the some of the monetization side, because Notability is more on, I think, you know, you guys are targeting students in that, and there's this like conception, I won't call it misconception, but there's a conception that it's hard to get students to pay. So what have you guys found from like a product perspective? How do we really get students to see the value?
Yes, this is definitely true. We have, you know, it's definitely much more of a price sensitive demographic, but you know, students are willing to spend some money on their coffees when they're going to study, and they have some disposable income. So it's not impossible, but you know, obviously that, you know, you have to have a product that is, you know, a little bit more on the lower end of the price spectrum, I would say. But really to get students to pay for your product, you need like the word authenticity comes back into play, because your best friend is word of mouth with students, because they're sitting in the same classrooms together every single day. They're in the same study groups. They just have a much stronger network effect. So if you can tap into that word of mouth marketing and just start to kind of have those people that you've converted that just talk about, recommend your product to other students, because it helps, it actually helps them improve their studying and learning. So you need to have a really strong product. And I wish I could attribute more of our success with students to our marketing, but in truth, it is because our product really, it works. And, you know, marketing can only do so much to get people in the door, but then from there, like, people actually have to have a good user experience, right? So like, I do attribute a lot of our success with students to that. But, you know, there has been certain features that have been huge drivers in growth. So since we're talking from a product perspective right now, like, I can point to like our tape feature was one of the biggest viral moments we've had amongst students. We leaned into that with our content too. We had a lot of videos that were like, if you're not studying with tape, what are you doing, with like all this fun audio stuff. And students were sending it to each other like during finals week and stuff. We had, specifically when we went super viral with our tape feature launch, it was because it was during finals week and people were stressed and they were trying to send study resources to each other. So really think about who are your users. And if it's students, think about, well, when are they stressed? When do they need help? Like, how can you be of help to them? Like, talk to them as if you're like their best friend and this is what they need to succeed. So yeah, it helps when you have a feature like tape, which for those of you who are not familiar with Notability, tape is a really cool feature that it's like an interactive tape that you can cover things up in your note. Then tap it to reveal what's behind it. So you can kind of turn your existing note into a study guide without doing any extra work. Like, you don't have to create flashcards. You can just tap and reveal. So it's super, super easy to use. And you can literally take like lecture notes from your professor and like cover things up and study it that way.
That.
Yeah.
And then it's up here. Yeah.
If you scroll. Yeah. There you go. So it's the third icon.
It's not this one. So it's the ruler.
Yeah, not the ruler. It's scroll to the right.
Oh, sorry, I gotta get out of the ruler. Oops.
No worries. Tape.
Got it. This is the tape, yeah.
I think, yeah, if you it's on the far right.
This third one.
There you go.
Right here. For those just listening to it, we're on the iPad version of Notability and we're using up tape. So I can then do this to cover up and quiz myself. It looks better. Like, it's hard to show up on it.
Yeah,
on my iPad, it looks a little better. The colors don't.
I don't know why the colors are not showing right.
It's my monitor. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, it kind of just looks like white ink right now.
How do we clear the tape?
You tap it.
Oh, that's so cool. Look at that.
And then you can also use the eraser and stuff to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know what? One thing I really want to highlight too is, like, I see a lot of this in other apps, like especially like to-do list apps, as well, where you are brought into the app and this is your homepage, right? I'm on the Notability homepage and it's just like you have getting started, right? Like you have this note already in there that kind of guides you through, whoops, I'm still on the tape feature, but that kind of guides you through the entire process and makes it look like, hey, look, here's a sample. And too many times I see apps where it's just completely empty. And I'm like, dude, you have to design for the empty state, the ideal state, and the full state. And most people just design when they're working with a designer, they just design for the ideal state. You know, what looks ideal, what looks good. You have right. to design for the empty state as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've recently added the gallery to our library view. So that's where you can see notes that were created from our community, which is kind of like our own. I won't say it's social media, but it's a note sharing platform that's public and you can really find a lot of cool resources there or templates that other Notability users have created. So that's another kind of great, it's a lot of word of mouth marketing as well. Sharing resources with students, you know,
I believe that, you know, I think as you get bigger, you know, after you reach a certain point, when you have an app like this, this type of gallery or community aspect yes. of the app really helps with the engagement. Have you guys seen any metrics that you're willing to share, Cleary, that you're like, once the gallery came out, here's what happened to the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I can't share specific metrics on that. But we definitely have seen a spike in engagement since the gallery came out, specifically since we've integrated the gallery from the library view like this. It used to be much harder to access it. It was like on the web and then it was kind of buried. So now that it's like front and center and really populates your library with kind of example content, we've seen a big spike in engagement. So yeah, I do think there's a lot of value in kind of having a community, whether it be like your social media platforms or something that's actually like integrated in the product.
I know another client of ours, a couple of different things, another client of ours, he's seen like you can create stuff. And so think about creating animations or videos within this app. They're seeing a lot of great like sharing capabilities, right? People will share the videos on social media and there's a watermark and that drives more organic downloads. Are you guys seeing similar things from Notability as well?
Sorry, can you repeat that one?
Sure. It's like, so the app, and I'm trying to be like very cryptic with the client, but what they do, you can create videos within animations and videos within their app, right? Oh. And you can export it and then share it on social media. So they're seeing a lot of shares and a lot of organic downloads because people are sharing the videos and they see the watermark like, hey, what is this app? Let me go download it. And so are you guys seeing that on your end, like people sharing notes or things like that on social media?
Yeah. Okay. I see your question now. So the gallery, not so much with the gallery. I wouldn't say it's kind of comparing apples to apples in this situation because we don't really have a watermark there. But obviously, like, and you have to kind of already be in the Notability, like note-taking community to use the gallery. You know, you have to have the product. So I think it kind of falls more into just like the general category of like, if people like the product, they will share it with their friends and recommend it. And then that's when we see like the fire of word of mouth marketing, which truly is the strongest like lever of marketing. Any way that you can kind of strategically tap into word of mouth.
Yep.
You're doing something right. But again, you might not see the results tomorrow or next month. You might see it next year, but then it's so consistent. And so, yeah, Notability truly, like, as much as, you know, I've done my best to help grow the brand and, you know, grow our followings, like we really did see so much success with word of mouth marketing from the get go. So my recommendation to like brands that are just getting started is really like, think about the product first, really.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, obviously marketing is very important, but it's more important to have something that works so that when you start doing marketing, it will take off because people actually believe in it and they've found success with it. If your users are not finding success with your product quite yet, then you're just not ready to start spending on marketing. I think that's like super important because everything we do from a marketing perspective is really to try to like ignite that word of mouth. Like it's not just paid conversions. It's not just number of people you've reached through your influencers. It's how much have you strengthened the brand?
How do you ignite it? Like, where do you start? If you're like, hey, all our marketing is to ignite word of mouth, right, then where do you like to start? Because that seems so big to me, Cleary. Like, help me simplify it. Like,
yeah. Oh gosh, where do we like to start? I mean, what do you mean by like with word of mouth or?
Yeah, does it start with, hey, we have to build these type of features because it's going to get word of mouth, or we have to create this type of content because that gets word of mouth?
I mean, honestly, I think it's like looking at the user reviews. Like, are you getting good feedback? Are you iterating the product based off of what your users want? I mean, a core philosophy of our brand has always been to listen to user feedback and like build a product around that. You know, that's like our number one objective, is to really listen. And I think obviously you're always going to have negative and positive feedback, but, and you have to prioritize accordingly. But I would focus on things like ratings and reviews on the App Store before I would really focus on spending a lot on marketing. And also just like anecdotal, you know, doing a lot of like, you know, user interviews and kind of research. But yeah, I mean, this is in the scenario of like a very young brand that's just getting off. Once you have an established brand, then like the conversation is different.
Yeah, it's for sure. Yeah,
different strategies.
Nurik says TikTok might be good, but no place to tag link for App Store. And
yeah. I mean, depending on how you're using TikTok, if you're using it for ads, you can obviously use custom links in the ad. But otherwise, yeah, it's, you know, it doesn't have as I mentioned before, it doesn't have as great of tagging abilities. So, you know, if it's purely organic UGC driven content, then it's really just going to live on the creator's profile, or if they give you the rights to repost it on your own, but you're not getting the synergetic effect of that content kind of going to both audiences in the same way that Instagram, you can leverage that. So.
Yeah. And you have to rank number one. So like you, for TikTok, like you also want, because people tend to just see it and then go search for it. You want to make sure your brand is number one. You don't want to be like promoting something and then some other brand is number one for that keyword and they're getting leverage out of that. We have seen that work pretty well too.
Right. Yeah. Pay attention on TikTok for like your brand hashtag and looking at how that grows over time. That's a really good kind of indicator of brand awareness. Cause you can actually see that like, you know, quantifiable number. And, you know, when you're in the world of organic content, you are always trying to find ways to measure the effectiveness of it. And it's not always easy. So
I love it. All right, Cleary, let's transition into the app audit side of the things. And we like to start off every app audit with some dad jokes. Okay, Cleary. I said, Cleary, you better come in ready. So you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Oh my gosh. You can go first. I am terrible when it comes to dad jokes, but I did look up a couple to come prepared.
All right. I got some good feedback on this when I shared this on Instagram. Here we go. Okay. I've got that ready to go. Cleary, my son came to me and said, Dad, I'm cold. And I said, kid, go stand in the corner. I hear it's 90 degrees. Whoops. Wrong button.
Oh God, I don't know.
What do you got?
Okay, I'm going to think about that answer. I'm terrible with these. Okay, so my joke is, what did the left eye say to the right eye?
What?
Between you and me, something smells. It's so corny.
That's what it's all about. It's all corny stuff.
Wait, you have to tell me the answer to yours. I never got it.
Oh, so the joke was, Dad, I'm cold. And I said, go stand in the corner. I hear it's 90 degrees.
Oh.
A little math joke. There you go. Sorry.
Didn't even write this.
Put S if you thought my joke was better, and then put C if you thought Cleary joke
was better. I give it to you.
And then if you got us to look at your app in a future live stream, we'll just go to appmasters.com/audit and we'll do that. We got a bit of a wait, but if you can wait, we'll do it for free. live on a future YouTube live stream. Okay, the first app we'll look at is the Quran. Am I saying that right? The Quran progress. And then I didn't have any, there was no specific questions. Here's the app itself. It just said marketing. And so anything on the App Store presence, Clary, that you want to point out?
I would say definitely important to have all of the titles on each screenshot at the top. So that you can see them and have them be consistent kind of in the formatting. Also, this is kind of a App Store like tip where they recommend that you show like 3/4 of the screenshot being your product. So I don't know if the first screenshot would actually meet that requirement. Mm-hmm. So I would like increase the product or like lessen the tilt. I would also probably recommend playing with the logo and making it a little bit more abstracted. It looks a little bit dated with the colors. And also just like, it's like, I don't know, it's a little bit too realistic, but these are more of like kind of design things. So
yeah,
definitely having the text be consistent, because that's always like kind of people's first look at the screenshots, and more screenshots, like leverage all the real estate that they give you. Use 10, you know, why limit yourself? And honestly, starting with a video is really compelling. We always try to have our first screenshot be a video so that people
really
can be guided through. Yeah. You know, it's just videos more eye-catching. So again, like why waste that real estate when you can kind of like guide people's eyes into a quick snapshot of what the product looks like. So I think starting with a video and then kind of trying to show the product as much as you can throughout the screenshots. So if that just means adding more screenshots, that's a good start.
Did you guys test like going, having the text up top and then bottom? Like, have you tested and then seen better results with one? Or is it more of like a, just a personal preference thing for you?
We've done some A/B tests on the screenshots. I mean, I think in this scenario, like it just consistency is more important. Like, I don't necessarily know if we've done a test versus like top versus bottom. I do think it's best practice to do the top. I haven't seen many apps, and I look at app screenshots quite a lot.
Well,
in the app world, every single day, I'm always looking at the App Store. I haven't seen many people do the bottom, so I'm sure that like, it's just not, it's visible, because when you're scrolling, it doesn't like, it can sometimes be cut off if it's at the
bottom. Right. No, I agree with you. I completely agree. I just was wondering if you had data, because I'm like, we don't read that way. We read up and down and we read left to right. And so we don't go like this, and then down. So I agree with you. I do like the fact that he's talking about like learn Arabic with the Quran, only 5 minutes a day. So a lot of great, like quick, like what the app is. And we have seen really good results with just leading with the main keyword or the main benefit of the app, what people really want, leading with that increased downloads.
Another recommendation on the copy is like, I would probably use a different, like a synonym for learn or something, so that you're not using like learn twice in the last two screenshots, just to like show that, you know, you can kind of maybe do more or like learn in different ways or just short of, you know, it just feels a little repetitive right there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I would definitely use, learn is used 3 times in those 3 consecutive.
Learn.
It's like, I don't want to learn that much.
I heard, and I know this is like copywriting trick, discover is better than learn, because nobody wants to be in school.
Learn, discover, you know, there's so many synonyms. So just change it up.
Luis says the ASO community is divided on using videos or not. Everyone has a different opinion, because we've actually seen mixed results too with adding video versus not video.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on your product too. Like, not every product is maybe as like UI focused. And for us, like, that is kind of a differentiating factor. Like, we really want to show our UI, because it's kind of part of what makes us different than our competitors, who have very similar feature sets. So, and people have strong preferences for what the UI looks like for a note-taking app. So depends on the product, of course.
One of my friends, he did A/B tests, like showing the screens of the app more, like what you said, Clary, like bigger, a 75% of it. And he's seen better results versus making it small like that too. So you want to show more of your actual UI UX. Have a good UI UX first and then show more of it in your screenshots.
Yes. Yes. And that is like definitely like an Apple requirement too.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the app and give him some help on that side of things. Okay. Just for notice, this is an older iPhone 8. Okay. So Quran Progress is the best app to learn vocabulary from Quran, and it's effortless, 5 minutes a day. Look, I knew to swipe, but like make it obvious, in my opinion, to swipe it, because you know probably most people are hitting next or skip.
Yeah, I can't quite see like what the experience is on the phone if it differs at all from this. But yeah, it wouldn't be obvious to swipe for me either, looking at your screen.
So yeah, I am on the phone right now. I don't like those buttons up top. I rather prefer to have them down here, right?
Yeah.
I want to put no. Okay. Oh, he's got an AI feature.
Oh, that's nice. That's great. It definitely kind of builds some trust and.
Let's see what happens. Okay. Cool.
This might be more of like a design feedback thing, but I would say like round the edges. Okay. Those buttons are nice with the rounded edges, but like,
right.
Like a 90 degree to go back to your joke that I didn't get. 90 degree just beats it so much. So yeah, everything nice and rounded.
I have some data to support this now, but like on this registration page. So one, I didn't see the paywall during this. You want to show the paywall during the onboarding experience. We have some data where we flipped the pay. So one, this app is making me sign up, right? Gave me a little taste and then asking me to sign up, which I don't mind. But one of our clients where they forced to sign up and then we showed the paywall. When we flipped the two by showing the paywall first and then making them sign up, we saw a 52% increase in sales. The other thing I'll say on the sign up page is I think, and I have some anecdotal data, that you should all continue with versus sign in, because it sounds just like I'm continuing down this process. It's an easier sell than sign in. And we have some data that does support that. And lastly, the Leia, past guest of ours, she was like, look, 90% of all iPhone users sign in with Apple. So make that the number one option versus Facebook and then Google and then Apple at the very end, because I'm on an iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, and also I don't know, you know, if there's anything you can do from a design standpoint on this, but it just feels really busy. Like it's quite overwhelming to look at that page and it makes me not want to sign up because I'm like, brain fatigue. So if you could maybe add like a pop-up modal so that when you start to sign up, then you have the options for like whether you're logging in with Apple or whatnot, just that they're not all like taking up equal space on the page and like just adding kind of clutter, visual clutter.
Yeah. I mean, I do like this.
Yeah. Yeah. The AI is nice.
Looks good. Right now it's an AI chat for those just listening. That's happening on this app right now. He's asking for commitment. So primarily, will you let me know what pace? I have seen that asking for users to commit to something. I mean, Duolingo reported this, that they saw an increase in retention when they actually, during the onboarding process, got users to commit. And so here, this paywall right here, get premium, you want to show this during the onboarding process as much as possible.
Yeah.
So before you even think about driving more downloads, you should do that. And I do have data now. I just remembered from a previous client where they had trials during the onboarding. They decided to remove it from the onboarding, because they're like, hey, you know, we don't need it. We have so many new features. People don't love the product so much. Let's just remove the trial from everywhere. Guess what happened, Clary, to the revenues?
Totally sank.
Yeah, it totally sank. And I was like, don't do it. And they're like, nope, we're going to do it. And so they did it and it totally sank the revenues when they removed the trial. So definitely have trials during the onboarding process, because that's what most people buy. Now, if you have an app that people love, maybe consider not having a trial after the onboarding, because a friend of mine, he tested this and he saw almost a 3x improvement when people started using the app. He removed the trial and he saw more revenues, less people activating, obviously, but more revenues from that. He made 12,000 without trial. It's a public video, and then 4,000 with trials. So
yeah, the trials, it's an interesting experiment. We've done a lot of experiments around pricing and trials. And I will say it depends on the region as well. Western markets, like they love a good trial, but not as much the case for Eastern markets. So, you know, it's definitely worth testing in different areas.
I like it. I want to see if you guys have a trial.
Because, a lot of like other, you know, more Eastern markets have like a pay up front, but with a much reduced price that has been working really well. But yeah, it depends on the market. So, but I generally am in favor of trials because I think it's a good way to give people a nice preview of what you can offer. And again, it's like trust is everything. If they try the product and they trust that it'll benefit them, then you've got a customer for life.
One thing on this paywall, there's a couple of like, for a novice user, the main things are my English is getting screwed up. This doesn't really look like buttons, right? When I'm tapping on the annual and monthly plans, but the big button is a previous sign, which come on now. Look, I have one client where it was free, monthly, and yearly. These were the options on the paywall. Guess what everybody was pressing?
free.
Yeah. So there you go. Don't make the previous, like, continue, put a little X somewhere else. Like, don't make it so obvious for me to say no to you. One, I have to find your paywall. And then two,
X. Don't,
don't make it too obvious. All right. Totally. There you go.
And I would also support in that. I think having to swipe three times throughout that kind of, that's a little much.
The last thing is, look, and I will pull up Notability as well. You can see it clearly, the paywall right here. If the number two places, there are two places where people buy during the onboarding and your homepage. Okay. And so let's go back to the Quran app and you've got nothing. You're burying their paywall right here. So you're just almost saying, don't pay me. Like, love my app, don't pay me.
Yeah. Make that obvious. Make that so, like, show it as much as you can without being too annoying.
Yeah.
And like make it beautiful too.
There was something that I had. Okay. Let us know. We need tiebreaker. Clearly, we're tied. Luis said S. PJ's and PJ gave you the win. Adrian, really? Yeah. Cooking Jen, too. You're underestimating yourself. So we need one more vote to break the tie because it's 3-3. Kim says, I need help on what to do after your keywords, localization setup, how to manage keywords, how often to make changes. So do you have a thing that you want to talk about on this, Clary?
Honestly, you are so much deeper into the ASO world than myself. So I feel like you're the best one to answer this.
All right. So what I would say is, and Kim, without knowing your app, I would change them about once a month if you can. Look, we are going to do an ASO workshop soon, Kim. And so stay in tune for that. But we already promoted it. Essentially, what we're going to share is, like, where do you optimize? Your primary keywords need to be in the title and subtitle. And then we're going to share some of the black magic that you can do to help you increase those rankings. But I would say at a high level, about once a month, try to find the lower, if you're a new app, try to find keywords with about search traffic of 20 to 30 and then low competition, and make sure you have it in your title and subtitle, because I feel like those have the highest weight. Those are where you're actually going to get those high rankings for those keywords. Oh, Cleary, one thing I wanted to talk to you about was, what do you guys like to focus on? Like iPhone, iPad? I know I showed up the iPad version of it, but do you guys have a focus in terms of device?
Well, we're a note-taking app, and our best, setup is iPad and Apple Pencil or any, stylus. So definitely iPad. Like, we're unique in that way. I think it's uncommon to be like, almost solely focused on iPad, but it's just such an amazing experience when you have the Apple Pencil with the iPad. It just like feels like digital paper. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. Well, there is still an iPhone version, so you guys aren't missing out if you guys want iPhone version.
And I think obviously Mac as well. Like I actually use the product more on Mac just because I use it for meetings and stuff, and so I always have it pulled up. And
that's cool. That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah. No, it's great. I think it's nice that you just have your notes across all devices.
The iPad for me is just a portable TV at this point, but it's like almost like laptop or iPhone, and then iPad is just my portable TV.
I know, it's like my comfort device.
Yeah. I love it. No, I'm glad you shared that, because what I have found actually is iPad conversions, while the market size might be a little bit smaller than the iPhone, but the iPad conversions are a lot higher. And I tell every client to do this. I'm like, depending on the category, obviously, I was like, look at your sales for iPad, look at your downloads over iPad, look at your sales for iPhone, look at your downloads. And I'll bet you the ratio of sales over downloads is a lot higher on iPad than it is on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Don't ignore it.
Yeah. The App Store is different on each device. Like you have more competition on the, when you're looking at the App Store on your iPhone.
Yeah. So Mike, thank you, Mike. Mike, good to see you, my man. And then they broke the tie. So I did win by 2 points and then we'll go into round two. But Nurex has a question for you. Clearly you tried growing up your app. Okay. Talk to me about the effectiveness of using TikTok to grow the downloads.
Yes. So we have focused on TikTok a lot this year. And really, like, as I mentioned earlier, it was really just kind of about like trying to tap into the growth potential of TikTok because the algorithm really does prioritize more of that kind of UGC content. You don't need to be a big established brand to kind of see that growth. You can, if you have valuable content that speaks to your, you know, demographic, then it will take off completely organically. So that was our intention with growing our TikTok. And we did see a lot of success. And honestly, a lot of it was because we had success with specific viral moments that I can't necessarily have complete control over, but there's certain things you can do that will increase your chances, if you will. And a lot of that, you know, specifically is kind of what we touched on with like having content that it's like, is it as if you're speaking to your friend that feels like seamless as you're scrolling on your feed. It doesn't have too much branding, you know, some of those are like kind of best practices to, and then obviously, you know, there's strategies like leveraging trending audio and, you know, being relatable as a brand, you know, like leaning into some of those Gen Z trends, if Gen Z is your target demographic, or, you know, just using the platform as would, as if the target demographic would, you know, so if they're browsing it because they want to find, you know, beauty products, like, maybe like there's a way to kind of incorporate that into your content, you know? So yeah, just relatability is huge there. But we've seen a lot of growth this year, like on TikTok and Instagram. And obviously downloads have been best ever. So it all works together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There is a, I'm trying to pull it up right now, but there's a TikTok ad library. If you Google, I'm sure you'll find it. That way you can find trending topics. The cool thing about what the TikTok ad library is now doing is you can see click-through rate. And so I'm trying to find it right now. I have it saved somewhere, but you can see click-through rate, which is insane. So you can almost see like, what are the best performing ads here? So you want me to put Notability or you want me to put something else?
Sure.
What do you want me to put in
there?
Note-taking maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let's see.
Or productivity.
Productivity. So TikTok made me buy it.
What? Oh my god!
Thermal printer.
Nice. I'm surprised. I would try. Maybe try notes.
Notes. Okay. Yeah. Let's go into notes.
But there's a lot more.
So you can see. Look at this. 33% click through rate. Likes. It's a competitor.
Oh.
Interesting. Oh no, it's not compared. This is the Remarkable. It's like a product.
Yeah, Remarkable is it's like an actual device.
Yeah. So you can even see, I've seen these green screen type of videos do pretty well too.
Yeah. Because again, that's like kind of relatable and like there's a lot of like value add when you have some like information that you're pointing to behind you, you know. Yeah. Makes it,
you know, I would say try it out, Nurex, if it might work for you, right? It is a hard formula to crack because clearly we were like, let's try to go trend, you know, like based off of that video with this other client that worked really well, like the top four abs for whatever category. We're like, let's try to come up with our own viral. So I went to ChatGPT, come up with some viral ideas, work with influencers that are smaller, and then had them try to create this content and didn't work. Like totally tanked. Very hard.
Yeah, you can't really like aim to shoot for viral. You know, you can't like bet on it. It's a little bit of a gamble, but you can create valuable content and then and like try to just use best practices and then promote them through. That's why we've talked so much about the partnerships piece because like they're like the experts in creating the content. And so if you can leverage that and promote it, it's, you're just skipping so many steps.
Oh, I love it. All right, Clary, you ready for round two?
Of course, I'm ready. Okay.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Sure. Okay. Why did the M&M go to school?
Why?
It wanted to be a smartie.
I like that one. I haven't heard of that one. I've usually heard of a lot of adjectives. I've been doing this for a few years.
Oh my God.
All right. All right, Cleary. After kissing my wife on the sofa, she said, "Let's take it upstairs." I said, "Okay, you grab one end, I'll grab the other." Okay.
Oh my God, I love it.
Same thing. Put S and put C. Whoever won. I don't know what we're playing for, Cleary, but we'll play for something.
I don't know. We're going to have to bet on something now.
Yeah. All right, Justin wants me us to take a look at his app, and Justin's like, "Good question." I was like, "What do you want me to focus on?" "Not sure." But he said, "I would like the premium app insight. I would like after my new build release." Okay. And he's just talking about the, so it's a neighborhood watch app. So in case something's going around, I think, what is it called? Like neighborhood watch or neighbor watch? Forgot what it's called, but I think there's a word for it. But anyways, get alerts, our block watch to provide you the only relevant alerts based on your proximity to them instead of social media posts and chatting, keep users informed with each other. So it's kind of like, hey, help each other out for the neighborhood in case something's happening.
Crowds.
Kind of like Nextdoor. I mean, I see a lot of this on Nextdoor, actually.
Yeah, it's like, but maybe this has like better notifications because Nextdoor doesn't really, it's just like, it's just unfiltered. There's so much you get bombarded. Like I just turn off my email alerts.
Yeah, me too.
So yeah, more tailored notifications based on your proximity. That sounds really great.
Okay. Well, I think it's Neighborhood Watch. If it's called Neighborhood Watch, what I'm doing now, and Justin, I'm just going to assume, you know, because you have 10 ratings, you're not doing a lot. If I'm building an app now and I'm trying to build it for ASO and even SEO, we have the, you know, Martin from Podcast App, I would just call it whatever the keyword is. So Martin called his app Podcast App, and he ranks really well when you search for a podcast app on Google and in the App Store, right? He actually is beating Apple when you search for podcast app within the App Store as well. Mm-hmm. So personally, if I'm not going to be like having a big budget for marketing, and when I say marketing, user acquisition, I'm just going to call my app whatever the primary keyword is moving forward. So that's what I might do.
I don't think you need to have app in the name. Like, couldn't it just be Block Watch?
There's reasonings for having it, and it's more, I believe it's more SEO driven and ASO driven. So if your keyword has the word app after it, because we did do that for one of our apps, mm-hmm. and we've seen pretty good results for it. It's if you can start searching. So like here, I'll just give you the, because Martin was on, he did this
for like Google, yeah, you know, so but like for the actual App Store presence, that surprised me.
Yeah, it's only for SEO and ASO. So think about it. Yeah. But other than that, the other thing I would say is if you, for an app like this, like you don't want to be everywhere at once. It's like a dating app. You want like 100 people in a neighborhood versus 100 people spread out around a state, frankly. And so one of the things you can do is leverage sports teams as well, Justin. So like, let's just assume I'm in the Bay Area. And so like, San Francisco Giants, San Francisco 49ers, you know, we got Golden State Warriors. I'd leverage the sports teams in that region. And this is what we did for our dating app. We saw pretty good success in terms of keywords. And so those sports teams tend to have good traffic volume, but very low competition, because obviously unless they have their own official app, you're going to start to leverage that brand. So you're trying to show up in neighborhoods or in cities that, you know, they can say, oh, cool, I'm in Philadelphia, San Francisco, and there's this Block Watch app. Let's get into the episode.
Yeah. And then for the screenshots, I think, you know, at a glance, I'd love to know more about like, what can you do here? And so they feel really busy. I would like simplify them and have add text at the top or the bottom, you know, but probably best to add it at the top and just add some kind of immediate sort of like features and functions that you can do.
Agreed. Love it. Okay. Like it. Justin, you're going to have to invest a little bit of.
Yeah, we need some more onboarding.
Yeah, without revealing my exact address to the whole entire world. Yeah, we need an onboarding to kind of remind people. And I don't know how you're going to monetize, but let me look through this app.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to kind of also have, like, to, I think a big focus for you would probably need to be around building trust as well, because obviously if you're giving your location, that's pretty, you know, that not a lot of people might be comfortable with that. And obviously that's probably key to the functionality of this app. So I think adding more kind of messaging around privacy and stuff would be valuable.
Yeah, I agree. I think some type of onboarding is necessary, Justin. And then I don't know how you're going to try to monetize it, but you know, reach out to me on there. All right. Claire, we got a question from Mike. What tools do you use to source and manage influencers and brand ambassadors? That's a great question, Mike. Point to you.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we use a tool called Tensor Social to kind of help source. And that's a way that we can search for specific metrics that, you know, goes beyond just like the user handle. You know, it's hard to kind of find people in certain, you can search kind of by like the location they're in, or, you know, even like behavioral things like keywords that are in their bio and stuff. So it is really helpful for sourcing. We don't use it for tracking or anything. We've just kind of built out our own like sort of tracking methodologies, but yeah, we use that for sourcing. And then we also just, you know, like I said earlier, we kind of reach out to a lot of agencies that we've built trust and relationships with, because we trust that they've sourced good creators and have a lot of the work is building the relationship. So if you have an agency where you feel good about the agents, it saves you a lot of kind of time down the road. So that's always my first preference, is to like find creators within agencies that I trust.
How do you spell Tensor Social?
Tensor.
Okay. I guess their website's down right now.
Oh yeah. I think they're like rebranding their website. Okay. I think it might be, the actual brand is called NeoReach. They might, I don't know what their
NeoReach.
Yeah. But the tool is called Tensor Social.
Okay. Got it here. Yeah. Mike, I'm using a spreadsheet. Okay. we're like literally looking up tags and then like going on, you know, TikTok. It's a pain in the butt. And so we've also heard other people use Billow, Billo.app to get influence UGC content, and they've seen pretty good success. Now, I've never used it myself personally, but I've had other podcast guests tell me about Billow. And that's what I like to do. That's why I love my job, Cleary, because once a couple of people tell me, I'm like, okay, well, I'm assuming, you know, I only have smart people on here. So I'm assuming people, you know what they're talking about. And Mike says, me too. And maybe he's me tooing on the spreadsheet side. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, the spreadsheet is great. I mean, we do that too. I think the first stage of when we were launching our ambassador program, we just put a spreadsheet together as well and just started searching, kind of collecting people we thought were interesting who, you know, were in the space that we were in. And you'd be surprised how small the world is in your niche when you start looking at things that you were tagged in and then that what they tagged. And it just kind of snowballs like that too. So yeah, there's no wrong way to do it.
Clary, well, in more important news, I don't know what you owe me, but I ended up winning the second round. I only got 3 votes, but I ended up winning the second round. I'm not sure what you owe me.
Now I'm insulted because I felt like my second joke was pretty good. So I don't know. We didn't establish the bet up front, so we're going to have to follow up.
Okay. Deal. And then Mike said yes on the spreadsheet.
Talk.
Deal. Well, you got an open invite. Clary, anything I missed? I mean, that you want to talk about with the ambassador program, like, you know, there's this great lady who's hosting a show on the Notability Instagram. She's a great host, by the way. So it's called Scribble Talks. But anything I missed that you want to make sure we talk about?
You know, I think, yeah, Scribble Talks was so much fun. This was just our way to kind of like change up our content and just sort of like tell this more storytelling than focusing on the product. So yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. This was actually at our brand event. So one thing we didn't touch on with influencer marketing is that for, you know, an ambassador program, a lot of brands do these kind of brand trips, especially in more of like, you know, fashion or beauty or other industries. But that was something that we wanted to kind of incorporate in part of our strategy, just to like really take it a step further and try building out the relationships with these ambassadors. And I think it worked really well. especially when you're launching a program, because then you can get to know each creator on a personal level and like really show them the product and what you like about it and like talk to them in real life. Like it doesn't feel so forced. And it's not just about the content. Like with our ambassador program, it's we're like investing in the people as our brand champions. And so doing some sort of brand trip or like a virtual bonding activity, things like that are really great ideas to kind of like get to know the creators more. And then the hope is that they like love you and they love the brand and they'll create more content, you know, for that kind of specific way of working with influencers. That wouldn't make sense for like the one-off partnerships that we talked about earlier, but I do think that brand trips are something that are worth considering. I mean, depending on who your audience is, but
so you just bring everybody in one place?
It was kind of like a summit. Kind of like a way to talk about the high level kind of values of our program, our brand. It was just like an in-depth discussion of like, this is who we are. Like, we chose you for these reasons. Like, we believe in you. We want to get to know you and just have fun. Like, it was so fun. So, we'll definitely be doing that again as like we grow the ambassador program. And I'd like to do more of them too. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's like planning a wedding. It's a lot of work. It's like a lot of work. But it did pay off for us. I really don't think the program would have been as successful without that element.
Garrett was the bridezilla, right? Garrett's a bridezilla. Garrett's from
Notability. Oh my God, he would die of laughter hearing you say that. Oh my God.
I love it. That's a great idea. I actually love that idea a lot because it's not that expensive, especially if you pick an area where a lot of your ambassadors are too.
That's literally your flights are. We picked it. It was just tried to find. That's why Tensor Social was helpful because we could try to find more ambassadors in one area. It did end up that they were more spread out than we wanted, but that's because we wanted the best of the best. I think, you know, just kind of bringing them all to a central area that's like convenient for everyone and having a good time.
I love it. Well, the website is notability.com and you can check out Notability on your iPad, Mac, iPhone. And go check it out. It is a great app, pretty inexpensive, as we just showed as well. It's just $15 for a year. And there it is right here. It's beautiful. It's well done. Check out that tape feature. I know we show the video where the tape feature is so minimalistic, that type of video, but it worked really well on TikTok for Notability. Claire, if the audience wants to connect with you and say thank you for coming on, do you want to send them anywhere else?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my name's Clary Chismar. I think that you can find me basically by typing my name. So you can find me on LinkedIn or, you know, social media. I'm active on all the platforms. So I'm happy to talk if you have any more questions. And I'm just super passionate about marketing and trying to kind of come up with creative new strategies and try to do it a little bit differently. You know, like we're just like I said, my core philosophy is like authenticity. So if anyone has any ideas they want to share with me on that topic, I am all ears. So yeah, thank you so much for having me though. This has been so wonderful. I'm so happy to be able to like just chat through all of these ideas and answer some of those questions. Best of luck to Blockwatch and Karan. Like, I hope to see you guys take some of our feedback and run with it.
I love it. Well, Luis says, gracias for today's episode, Cleary and Steve. De nada. All right. Well, next week, I'm going to be solo unless I find somebody to help me because I don't like going solo all the time. But we're going to really break down ASO a little bit and some of the things that we'll be sharing in our future workshop. That's going to be happening October 25th. So I'll be with me by myself next Friday and every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. If you want to have some fun, I'm staying authentic to my brand and telling jokes along the way. And so join us every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. Cleary, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody else, have a great weekend, and I will see you next Friday and every Friday.
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.